Well, I hope your morning's going well. On this Friday, it's time to talk science. And a good morning to ABC science editor Jonathan Webb. Hello, Jonathan.
Good morning, Cathy.
All right, firstly, we need to answer our Friday brain teaser. Here it is again. What's the worst losing score you can have in a single set of tennis if you win more points than your opponent? All right, put us out of our misery, Jonathan. What's the answer?
Well, Cathy, by my maths, it's 6-4, or I guess 4-6 from your perspective as the loser. So your opponent has to win six games, and the narrowest losing margin you could have in those games is by 2 points. So that means by the time they've won six, they have to be at least 12 points ahead. So in your column, in the set, you could win three games to love, which would give you the same number of points. That's another 12 points. So the total points tally would be even. So you have to win at least one more game to have one more points but still lose the set. So it's 6-4.
There you go. Thank you. Well, very much part of the zeitgeist this week with the Oz Open underway, of course.
Yes.
Jonathan, in science news, China's lunar rover has been trundling around on the far side of the moon for a full 3 years now, and the team has just published a range of findings from the rover's journey. What have they discovered?
Yeah, this rover's been busy. I can't quite believe it was almost exactly 3 years ago we were talking about this landing. The Chang'e 4 lander touched down on the far side of the moon, the first bit of human technology ever to do so, in January 2019. The little rover, Yutour number 2, or Jade Rabbit number 2, set off very shortly afterwards. And yeah, she's been trundling around. I think it's travelled about a kilometre in that time. Not a particularly speedy little buggy. Its top speed's about 5 centimetres a second. But it has been busy, and we haven't been bombarded with information from this mission. There's a little more secrecy and obviously a much bigger language barrier than when we have, say, NASA missions or SpaceX missions going up. The authors of this study, for example, to my knowledge, haven't done any interviews about the science, but it's published. It's the cover story in this week's edition of Science Robotics. And there's quite a lot in there. What they've basically done is summarise all of the insights that they've got, not so much from measurements from the rover's radar or spectrometer or anything. It's just the insights from literally driving around. So how much skidding was there? How many things were there for them to bump into? And you could crudely summarize these findings as the far side of the moon, at least in the von Karman crater where this thing is roving around, seems to be flat and sticky. There's not a lot of steep slopes for them to skid and slide around on. There's not too many large boulders around, which is a contrast with the other side of the moon. But also the sand, the soil, if you like, or regolith to moon fans, that seems to be just a little bit sticky. So they saw, using the camera, little patches of the soil actually sticking to the wheels.
So what would that mean if it's sticky? What does that mean?
Well, yeah, it's kind of curious. It means that, first of all, that the surface is relatively firm for them to drive on. If you imagine, say, slightly damp beach sand as opposed to dry sand, it's got a little more steadiness if you try and walk around or drive on it. It's not that this surface is actually wet. There's not that much water on the surface of the moon, and if there was, it'd be totally frozen. It's just, I guess, to do with the composition and the size of the grains. It seems to be holding together a little bit better than really fine kind of, dusty dirt, which is what we've seen in some other parts of the moon. So there's a bit of a surprise there, and they've put all that together basically from, you know, the movement of the wheels and what they've seen of bits getting stuck on the wheels and how much they've been slipping and sliding as the buggy's been cruising around.
All right, and just briefly, you've got another paper published this week, Jonathan, also by Chinese scientists concerned with much more earthly mystery, specifically the insides of the giant panda and the microbes that live there. Now, what do we need to know about the panda gut microbiome?
Yeah, this is a fun one. Basically, the biome inside a giant panda seems to be very finely tuned to the panda's needs and also very seasonal. So pandas, as we know, get by on bamboo. They eat bamboo, which is are not particularly nutritious. It basically involves eating a lot. The panda, when it's eating bamboo leaves, can get down about 40 kilograms a day. And I learned yesterday it can poo up to about 50 times a day, which,
goodness,
to be honest, makes me wonder if my son is part panda at the moment.
You've got a baby.
Yes, I do have a baby at home. But what they really found was that there's a big change in the part of the year when the pandas get to eat fresh bamboo shoots, which is the late spring and into summer. They get much more juicy shoots as opposed to the tough bamboo leaves, which they eat the rest of the year. And in particular, there's a bacteria known as Clostridium butyricum, which they get a lot more of in their gut, specifically when they're digesting those fresh bamboo shoots. And that seems to allow them to put on a whole lot of good fat, good weight that they can use for the rest of the year when they've got a much much more tough, fibrous sort of a diet. And they demonstrated that this bacteria population was actually having a causative effect by doing a transplant. Because what do you do if you're a scientist and you've got samples of panda poo? You do an experiment with it. So they did actual fecal transplants on mice and found that, sure enough, when they gave bamboo shoot season panda poo to the mice, they put on more weight than if they gave them panda poo from the rest of the year. They put on more weight and got also higher fat content. So there does seem to be a key difference in this seasonal microbiome in the panda that allows them to put on fat when there's good food around.
There you go. I'm not going to be looking at a panda the same way anymore now. Thank you so much, Jonathan. Always great to talk to you. And, of course, we'll catch up with you again next week with more science.
Cheers, Cathy.
Jonathan Webb is the ABC Science Editor. And for all the latest science, including our Friday brain teasers, make sure you're following ABC Science on Facebook and Twitter.